Chapter 35, The Stilling of the Storm. This chapter is based on Matthew 8, verse 23 to 34, Mark 4, verse 35 to 41, 5, 1 to 20, Luke 8, verse 22 to 39. It had been an eventful day. Beside the Sea of Galilee, Jesus had spoken his first parables, explaining the nature of his kingdom and the manner in which it was to be established. He had likened his work to that of the sower, the development of his kingdom to the growth of the mustard seed, and the effect of leaven in meal. The final separation of the righteous and the wicked he had pictured in parables of the wheat and tares and the fishing net. The precious truths he taught had been illustrated by the hidden treasure and the pearl of great price. As evening came on, the crowds still pressed upon him. Day after day he had ministered to them, scarcely pausing for food or rest. Now the close of day found him so utterly wearied that he sought retirement in some solitary place across the lake. He bade his disciples accompany him thither. After he had dismissed the multitude, they took him into the boat and hastily set off. But other fishing boats lying near the shore were quickly crowded with people who followed Jesus, eager still to see and hear him. The Savior, overcome with weariness and hunger, lay down in the stern of the boat and soon fell asleep. The evening had been calm and pleasant, but suddenly darkness overspread the sky and a fierce tempest burst upon the lake. The waves, lashed into fury by howling winds, dashed fiercely over the boat and threatened to engulf it. Those hardy fishermen had guided their craft safely through many a storm, but now their strength and skill availed nothing. Helpless in the grasp of the tempest, they saw their boat filling. Jesus cared. Absorbed in their efforts to save themselves, they had forgotten that Jesus was on board. Now, seeing only death before them, they remembered at whose command they had set out to cross the sea. In Jesus was their only hope. "Master! Master!" But their voices were drowned by the roaring of the tempest, and there was no reply. Doubt and fear assailed them. Was he who had conquered disease and demons, and even death, powerless to help his disciples now? Was he unmindful of their distress? Again they called, but there was no answer except the shrieking of the angry blast. Apparently they were to be swallowed up by the hungry waters. Suddenly, a flash of lightning pierced the darkness, and they saw Jesus lying asleep, undisturbed by the tumult. In amazement they exclaimed, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Their cry aroused Jesus. As the lightning's glare revealed him, they saw the peace of heaven in his face. They saw in his glance tender love, and they cried, "Lord, save us, we perish." Never did a soul utter that cry unheeded. As the disciples grasped their oars to make a last effort, Jesus rose. While the tempest raged and the waves broke over them, he lifted his hand and said to the angry sea, "Peace, be still." The billows sank, the clouds rolled away, and the stars shone forth. The boat rested on a quiet sea. Then Jesus asked sorrowfully, "Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" RSV. A hush fell upon the disciples. Terror and despair had seized the occupants of the boats that had set out to accompany Jesus. The storm had driven the boats into close proximity, and all on board beheld the miracle. The people whispered among themselves, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" When Jesus was awakened to meet the storm, there was no trace of fear in word or look. But he rested not in possession of almighty power. It was not as master of earth and sea and sky that he reposed in quiet. that power he had laid down. I can of mine own self do nothing. John 5, verse 30. He trusted in the Father's might. It was in faith, faith in God's love and care, that Jesus rested, and the power of that word which stilled the storm was the power of God. So we are to rest in the care of our Savior. The disciples' fear in time of danger revealed their unbelief. They forgot Jesus, and only when they turned to him could he give them help. How often, when tempests of temptation gather, we battle with the storm alone. We trust to our own strength till we are ready to perish. Then we remember Jesus, and if we call upon him to save us, we shall not cry in vain. He never fails to give us the help we need. If we have the Savior in our hearts, there is no need of fear. The Redeemer will deliver us from danger in the way that he knows best.
The wicked are like the troubled sea. Isaiah 57, verse 20. Sin has destroyed our peace. The masterful passions of the heart no human power can control. We are as helpless here as were the disciples to quiet the raging storm. But however fierce the tempest, those who turn to Jesus with the cry, "Lord, save us," will find deliverance. His grace quiets the strife of human passion, and in his love, the heart is at rest. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they had quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Psalm 107, verse 29-30, RSV. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5, verse 1. In the early morning, the Savior and his companions came to shore. The light of the rising sun touched sea and land with the benediction of peace. But as they stepped on the beach, their eyes were greeted by a sight more terrible than the fury of the tempest. Two madmen rushed on them as if to tear them to pieces. Hanging about these men were parts of chains they had broken in escaping from confinement. Their flesh was torn and bleeding. Their eyes glared out from under their long and matted hair. Demons possessed them, and they looked more like wild beasts than like men. The disciples fled in terror, but presently they turned to look for Jesus. He was standing where they had left him. He who had stilled the tempest did not flee. When the men, foaming at the mouth, approached him, Jesus raised that hand which had beckoned the waves to rest, and the men could come no nearer. With authority, Jesus commanded the unclean spirits to come out of them. His words penetrated the darkened minds of the unfortunate men. They realized dimly that one was near who could save them from the tormenting demons. But when their lips were opened to entreat his mercy, the demons spoke through them, crying vehemently, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus? Thou Son of God Most High, I beseech thee, torment me not." Jesus asked, "What is thy name?" And the answer was, "My name is Legion, for we are many." The demons begged Jesus not to send them out of the country. On a mountainside not far distant, a great herd of swine was feeding. Into these the demons asked to be allowed to enter. Immediately the herd rushed madly down the cliff, plunged into the lake, and perished. Meanwhile, a marvelous change had come over the demoniacs. Light had shone into their minds. Their eyes beamed with intelligence. With glad voices, the men praised God for deliverance. From the cliff, the keepers of the swine had seen all that had occurred, and they hurried away to publish the news to their employers. In fear and amazement, the whole population flocked to meet Jesus. The demoniacs had been the terror of the country. No one had been safe to pass where they were. Now these men were clothed and in their right mind, listening to Jesus' words and glorifying him who had made them whole. But the people did not rejoice. The loss of the swine seemed greater than the deliverance of these captives of Satan. The owners of the swine were absorbed in earthly things and cared not for the great interests of spiritual life. Jesus desired to break the spell of selfish indifference, that they might accept his grace. But indignation for their temporal loss blinded their eyes to the Saviour's mercy. Superstition excited fears. The manifestation of supernatural power excited the fears of the people. Further calamities might follow from having this stranger among them. Those who had crossed the lake with Jesus told of their peril in the tempest, and how the wind and the sea had been stilled. But their words were without effect. In terror, the people pleaded with Jesus to go away, and he complied, taking ship at once for the opposite shore. The people of Gergesa were so fearful of endangering their earthly interests that he who had vanquished the prince of darkness before their eyes was treated as an intruder, and the gift of heaven was turned from their doors. Still, there are many who refuse to obey Christ's word, because obedience would involve the sacrifice of some worldly interest. Lest his presence cause pecuniary loss, many reject his grace and drive his spirit from them. But the restored demoniacs desired the company of their deliverer. In his presence, they felt secure from the demons that had tormented their lives and wasted their manhood. As Jesus was about to enter the boat, they kept close to his side and begged him to keep them near him. But Jesus told them to go home and tell what great things the Lord had done for them.
Here was a work for them to do, to go to a heathen home and tell of the blessing they had received from Jesus. It was hard for them to be separated from the Savior. Difficulties were sure to beset them. Long isolation from society seemed to disqualify them for the work he had indicated. But as soon as Jesus pointed out their duty, they were ready to obey. They went throughout Decapolis, everywhere declaring his power to save and describing how he had freed them from the demons. In doing this work, they could receive a greater blessing than if they had remained in his presence. In working to spread the good news of salvation, we are brought near to the Savior. The two restored demoniacs were the first missionaries Christ sent to preach in the region of Decapolis. For a few moments only, these men had been privileged to hear the teachings of Christ. But they bore in their own persons the evidence that Jesus was the Messiah. They could tell what they knew, what they had seen and heard and felt of the power of Christ. This is what everyone can do whose heart has been touched by the grace of God. See 1 John 1, verse 1 to 3. If we have been following Jesus step by step, we shall have something to tell concerning the way in which he has led us, how we have tested his promise and found the promise true. This is the witness for which our Lord calls us. Though the people of Gergesa had not received Jesus, he did not leave them to the darkness they had chosen. They had not heard his words. They were ignorant of that which they were rejecting. Therefore, he again sent light to them by those to whom they would not refuse to listen. The destruction of the swine roused the whole country as nothing else could have done and directed attention to Christ. The men he healed remained as witnesses to his power, channels of light, messengers of the Son of God. A door was opened throughout that region. When Jesus returned to Decapolis, thousands heard the message. Even the working of evil is overruled for good. The demoniacs of Gergesa, dwelling in the place of graves, in bondage to uncontrolled passions and loathsome lusts, represent what humanity would become if given up to satanic jurisdiction. Satan's influence is constantly exerted on men to control the mind and incite to violence and crime. He darkens the intellect and debases the soul.
Whenever men reject the Savior's invitation, they are yielding themselves to Satan. Multitudes in the home, in business, and even in church are doing this today. Because of this, violence and crime overspread the earth, and moral darkness enshrouds the habitations of men. Satan leads men to worse and worse evils, till utter depravity and ruin are the result. The only safeguard against his power is the presence of Jesus. Before men and angels, Satan has been revealed as man's enemy and destroyer, Christ as man's friend and deliverer. God has called us to be conformed to the image of his Son, Romans 8, verse 29. And souls that have been degraded into instruments of Satan are still, through Christ, transformed into messengers of righteousness and sent forth to tell what great things the Lord hath done for thee.